Y'all, I've had a couple of conversations this week about s'mores, one of which happened this morning. I was talking to a friend of mine and said that I just wanted to invite myself over to his house and make s'mores with him in his backyard. And he said yes. So I just decided that today's podcast episode would be about a story I wrote back in the fall about making s'mores. So here we go. The last time I made s'mores in the fireplace, it was in my first ever apartment. I shared with him while unpacking the grocery bag on his living room floor. I had brought over my favorite s'mores ingredients from the fancy grocery store. "You had a fireplace in your apartment?" he replied, two old fashions in hand, walking toward me from the kitchen. He told me he had gotten an orange specifically for these drinks because he wanted to make one. Okay, probably two for me. I did. It was glorious, especially when it snowed. It made everything feel extra cozy. He handed me my drink and smiled, saying, "We may need to make this a thing then." I took a sip of my drink and sighed, "This is perfection." And yes, we could make it a monthly thing while it's freezing outside. "I'm glad you liked it." "I'm glad you like it," he smiled and clinked his glass with mine. We had been friends for just over a year now. Well, friends who had met on a dating app, dated, and transitioned into friendship when we decided a romantic relationship wasn't going to be in the cards for us. There were moments where we'd spend time together and he asked to kiss me, and I turned him down because I didn't want anything happening to our friendship. We were also entering new seasons of life. I was choosing not to get involved with anyone so I could figure out my relationship to myself after a string of failed situationships. He was still navigating dating and seeing someone casually after a long, drawn-out divorce. "Where are you going?" he asked as I walked to the kitchen. "To get plates and skewers," I called out to him, reaching for the cabinet over the sink. "Hang on, I move them." I felt his hand on my hip as I opened the third cabinet and startled. "Sorry, I didn't mean to scare you." He kissed the top of my shoulder and opened a neighboring cabinet. "Plates are here. I'll get the skewers." He opened a drawer next to the oven and took a couple out of a long rectangular box. The boundaries around our friendship were soft, pliable, and something we both danced around and in and on. I told him I had capacity for being affectionate as I loved the safety I felt with him, and he said he was good with that. I kept drawing the line at kissing, but the line was fading the way footprints and sand fade when the tide rolls in. We walked back into the living room, the heat of the fire warming my face as I sat extra close to him. I touched his thigh with my knee. "Here," he said, pushing a marshmallow onto a skewer and handing it to me. "Thank you." I grinned, feeling like I was in high school and my crush was giving me attention. After a few minutes of silent marshmallow roasting, his perfectly brown and mine a little black and crunchy on one side, he took a sip of his drink and said, "I like you a lot." I was in the middle of smashing my marshmallow onto chocolate and a graham cracker when his words landed on me like snowflakes drifting from heavy clouds. I froze, my mind working on how to interpret this like. Was it like he wanted to try dating again? Or was it that he liked me as a person and enjoyed my company? Something in between those two was what I was feeling. And instead of trying to explain it, I looked at him and said, "I like you too." He gave me a half smile, one I hadn't learned to read well yet, and shifted his attention to building his own s'more. I let myself dip a toe into the thought of dating him again. We didn't end on bad terms, but I wasn't sure we were going to be compatible long term. I couldn't decipher whether my attraction to him was to him specifically or to how he made me feel. "These are so good," I exclaimed after taking a too big bite of my s'more. "Yeah, this was definitely a good call," he said after taking his own bite. After round one of s'mores and round two of old fashioned, he admitted that boundaries were not something he was good at. "Yeah, I feel that," I said, glancing at him as he laughed. "I don't mean that as an insult. I'm low-key agreeing, but I too am not great at boundaries." He placed his hand on my thigh. I put mine on top of his, letting my gaze drop to our now intertwined fingers. I knew that when I looked up, he'd lean in and kiss me. I felt into whether I should let go of his hand after giving it a squeeze or meet his gaze and just let it happen. Tracing the contours of his body with my eyes, I slowly lifted my head, and he was, as I expected him to be, watching me study him. Neither of us said a word as the space between us closed in on itself and my lips were on his. The slowness and sensuality in which our mouths moved against each other turned my pussy into an ocean, immediately ready to absorb his cock into her, taking him out into the undertow of her pleasure. I felt inside the delicious feeling of his warm skin against mine, the feel of him on my lips and tongue that this was temporary. It slipped into my mind like a cool breeze that hovered over the gushing, aggressive, desirous energy my pussy was experiencing. What I should have done was stop. What I did, though, was pull him closer, my hands in his hair, his on my chest, fingertips grazing my nipple over the sheer bra I had on. "I want to fuck you," he said, kissing my cheek over to my neck, the easiest way to get me to say yes. "Do it," I said, leaning back, inviting him between my legs, feeling his hard cock against me. I was turned on and tired of resisting. I searched my memory for what it was I was afraid of to begin with and found it empty. We had always talked about everything and been open with each other, so how would this be different? "Are you sure you want this?" he asked, returning his attention to my mouth. I nodded, a twinge of uneasy accompanying the breeze of uncertainty. Under the haze of alcohol, desire in his mouth, my resolve disappeared. The feeling that something wasn't quite right didn't disappear, though. I pushed it down to make room for him to enter me. He pulled off my sweater, bra, and jeans before I had the chance to go for his shirt. He pressed his hand between my legs to the small piece of black satin that made up my underwear and grinned at me. "I have to tell you something." "What's that?" I propped myself up on my elbows. "You know when I said that I liked you earlier?" "Yes," I replied, hearing my answer come out as a question. I love you," is what I really wanted to say. My eyes widened in disbelief before registering his expression as warm, open, loving, and inviting. Was love how I'd describe my feelings for him too? I certainly felt more than just like, but also felt different than how I had experienced love before. Whatever doubt I had been feeling before dissipated. Things were fine with us. I was safe and just nervous. It wasn't like I hadn't experienced feeling nervous with someone before. "I love you too," I returned the sentiment. He took off the rest of his clothes and then settled back on top of me. Our kissing resumed and was more intense than it was when we started. Suddenly, I had to have him inside of me. My thoughts, the sound of the crackling fire, the window that was displaying everything we were doing, all faded into the background of my awareness as I slid my hand down his back, grabbing a handful of his ass before reaching between us. Lifting his hips to give me better access, I wrapped my hand around his cock, tilted my hips up to take him, and felt my body expand and open with every inch pushing into me. We loved each other, I sighed to myself. It wasn't full-on romantic love, but something else, something in between, and I quite liked the in-between. Buckingham happened slowly, gently, and then all at once. I went from mentally studying how we fit together, what he felt like inside of me, the nuances of the shape of his cock and how my body gripped it, to full-on animalistic, nearly violent, rapturous possession of each other. He pinned me down, his hand on my breastbone, and let me have it while I pushed my hips against his with all my strength. My feet were sliding against the hardwood floor, our skin displaying a sheen of sweat as we pushed and rocked and pulled at and into each other. I felt so free with him. I was loud and careless as I came. Anyone walking by could probably hear me, and if they looked hard enough, could see our bodies locked together and potentially know that as I was vocally emitting my pleasure, he was filling me up with his. The desire to cry was about to surface, as it sometimes did, but left the instant he kissed my forehead, eased out of me, and pulled me to him. I wrapped my arm and leg around him. Do you want to stay the night? He asked. I nodded. He drew us a bath that we soaked in, barely uttering a word until the water became tepid. He gave me a pair of sweatpants that he accidentally shrunk in the dryer one day, but still kept because he bought them in college, along with the sweatshirt. I fell asleep to the rhythm of his heartbeat under my ear. In the morning, we fucked again, half asleep. He made us coffee and pancakes and drove me home after so I could get ready for work. I'll text you later, he said, as he leaned over the center console to kiss me. Yes, please. I returned his kiss. I got out of his car for what I didn't know would be the last time. I never heard from him again.